Okay, so welcome to the inaugural episode, or episode zero, of The Fire Caves, a Star Trek Deep Space Nine podcast. I will be your host, Perry, and I'll be joined with my co-host, David, and we will be taking you all through the entire Deep Space Nine series, while also making various references to the political and cultural climate of the show at the time. So basically telling you what was going on in the world and, of course, in the States when the show was put together and when each episode aired. In addition to that, we will also hopefully be able to secure a couple of surprise guests to come on and discuss this very influential, impactful show with us, and also talk about the connotations that Deep Space Nine had for not just Star Trek, but also for the greater sci-fi world and how it helped to frame other television shows that came after it. And as I said, I'm your host, Perry, and I'm going to turn it over to David now to introduce himself. So, David, what's going on?
Hey, Perry. How you doing?
Overall, not bad.
Good to hear.
How about
Good
yourself?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to doing this. As a prerequisite to me joining you here on the show, I have started watching The Next Generation, which I had not watched before. About halfway through, I've recently finished the Best of Both Worlds, Parts 1 and 2, which you have told me are kind of a prequel, if you will, to what happens on Deep Space Nine. And so while I will continue to watch The Next Generation for the next several weeks or months, I'm ready now, starting tomorrow, to begin watching Deep Space Nine so we can discuss.
Oh, he thinks he's ready. He's thinks he's ready to dive into this this deep pool here that is Deep Space Nine. Well, great, man. So since you said that you had been watching The Next Generation, I just want to take the time, use this episode really to let people know who we are, what we're about. What is your overall experience with sci-fi in general? Would you consider yourself a sci-fi fan? And then if you do, what particular branch of sci-fi do you fall under? Is it Star Wars, Star Trek? Is it, I don't know, even Farscape, if that's your thing?
So I would consider myself a sci-fi fan. I wouldn't necessarily qualify myself as let me put it this way. This is my introduction to Star Trek, these shows here. I have seen the original J.J. Abrams films, which were fine and good for what they were at the time, but as someone who had never been a Star Trek, you know, viewer before, that was my introduction at the time. Those movies are very action-packed, as you can imagine. Which is very different from my experience with the show, which makes a lot of sense, certainly from a budget standpoint, but also from a thematic standpoint. While I like Star Wars, for example, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself some massive Star Wars fan on the other side. It's not a flip of the coin, one side is Star Trek, one side is Star Wars, and I've been a Star Wars fan now coming over to Star Trek to examine the other side. I'm someone who loved reading sci-fi, especially as a young as a teenager, for example. I'm a huge fan of the original book Ender's Game, I think you hadn't read the book when I first introduced that to you when we first became friends.
True.
And I love that book so much.
You definitely read it. You definitely got me too. I was definitely ready for more after reading that one.
And as someone who likes just sci-fi fantasy in general, I've seen Star Trek, I've known about it, I've never really been interested before in looking into it much. It's, in my opinion, in the past it was as a kind of a campy show. It had its heyday in the past, but it's now moved on, and it's now something to look back on for some people fondly. For most of my life, it was just something I knew about, not personally, but through the grapevine or in culture in general. But I'm glad you got me into it. Star Trek The Next Generation has been getting a lot better. Season 1 was definitely a little bit campy, a little bit where I was like, okay, this is why I haven't watched it. But then Season 2, Season 3, they've been getting better and better. Each season of The Next Generation has been getting better and better. And if you tell me that you think Deep Space Nine takes it to the next level, I look forward to finding out more.
And as a person who I feel like Star Trek is my life's blood, to hear someone say something so casual about the show that I've devoted an inordinate amount of time and energy to just burns me up. But I do stand by it. I think that I think you'll definitely like it, especially knowing what I know about you. And again, your Ender's Game book reference here is a perfect lead in, I think, because you obviously you. I think you will appreciate a deeper, more complex story. And I think you definitely get that out of Deep Space Nine. But that's a little bit of a spoiler. We're not going to get into that right now. But yeah, great. I'm definitely glad to have you on board. As you said, we've been friends for a while. We've talked about a lot of different things over the years. I mean, not just books, but also we've covered a lot of different political topics and stuff like that as well. And I've always enjoyed this conversation with you, and that's another reason why I wanted to have you with me while we did this, because I feel like between the two of us, we'll be able to not only cover the more social aspect of Trek, but also that political mindset of certain parts of the show, the cultural reference as well. And that's another reason why I intend with this show to do a tie-in to late 80s, early 90s, and even early 2000s, the political cultural zeitgeist for contemporary times, right? Because, as I said, Star Trek has always been written as a reflection of the time in which it was on air. That was a tradition that was started from inception way back in the 60s, and they certainly didn't drop the ball on that, I feel, with Deep Space Nine. I mean, every show has its, they do their departure, very, very, very heady sci-fi moments, but then they definitely try to ground you with those moralistic tales, and I don't think that Deep Space Nine ever really missed the mark on those. So I'm looking forward to talking about that with someone who is new to it. And obviously, we've seen a lot of political changes, a lot of social, cultural changes in these last few years. And yeah, want to see how Star Trek holds up, how in particular how Deep Space Nine holds up, and then also what we can see about the landscape of sci-fi since this show has had completed its run. And everything that's come after it. So, from the new Star Trek shows like Discovery, Lower Decks, Picard, to other sci-fi shows like The Expanse on Amazon and things like that, So we'll just always keep that rolling.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Anything else that you would like to contribute before we get into some other questions?
Oh, I just want to, follow up and say again, I am enjoying the Next Generation. Like I said, the writing, the seasons have really gotten better. And one of my friends, who when I told him I was planning on doing this with you, he initially said, like, yeah, it definitely gets better. And just very particularly the idea of the Prime Directive, an idea that a advanced space-faring culture would have a care for the idea of cultures that are not yet as advanced as them. They want to give them the space to figure out their own history and thoughts and culture, and then get to that point where they can come join Starfleet. That's a fascinating idea, just in general. Like, if that's all Star Trek ever is just exploring that idea. They've done a fine job so far from what I've seen. And the idea that Deep Space Nine, instead of being a a ship that, goes out and just meets cultures, but has to know actually has to be there and is a cultural hub. That'll be I look forward to seeing how that is different from the Next Generation.
Well, that does take care of one of the questions I was going to ask you a little bit later. But
Great.
yeah, so just real quick, a little bit about me. Obviously, I love Star Trek. I love everything about it. Deep Space Nine is far and away my favorite series. There are others that, well, all of them have a special place for me. Again, I'm a lifelong fan, so there's not very much I can find fault with. I know there's some people who don't like the new Trek stuff that has come out, but I mean, I feel like you just got to give it a chance and you can find something to enjoy about it. I certainly have. I also am a co-host on another podcast that's also called The Expanse, but this one is The Expanse, The Enterprise, the Star Trek Enterprise podcast. On that one, all we do is talk about Enterprise and its various episodes and why that show is actually secretly awesome, which is something that not a lot of Trek fans agree with. But again, if you're a fan of watching something that exudes untapped potential, Enterprise is that show for you. If you love sitting there going, I really wish they had done more, you know, this is so great, if only, you know, like if you love having those moments, you should definitely watch Enterprise. It's full of them. Like it's four seasons of just that.
Right.
You know, so yeah. So then because I was on that podcast, the Wise Overlords that are Holosuite Media asked to have me branch out and do this show for Deep Space Nine because it was sorely lacking in representation. And of course, I leapt at the chance. I will do my best to keep my absolute fawning, fanboying, gushing over all things Deep Space Nine to as much of a minimum as possible. But I warn you now, not probably not going to happen. I really do love that show a lot, and even though I nitpick it to death, there's still a lot of love there. So
For
that will
sure.
definitely be seen.
Oh, well, I just gotta say, you know, the one of the first things you gotta know about love is you're critical of the things you love. You want to make them perfect.
Oh, well, in that case, then in that case, Deep Space Nine and I have a marriage date that is set in stone because I have picked this show apart for years, but I keep coming back to it, man. I
Right.
do.
On that point, maybe you were going to ask me this question first, but you know, when did you first get into Star Trek? Of
Oh,
course, so for, maybe just as a quick point, like for
yeah.
me, I was born in 1990. You know, Next Generation was in the middle of its run.
Yeah.
By the time I was old enough to probably appreciate anything Star Trek with this generation, you know, this set of shows from the Next Generation to Enterprise, you know, those shows were already basically kind of over by the time I would have been interested in them, which is probably why my experience has been very minimal.
Yeah.
What was yours?
Well, I was born in 1986, so I actually was born the year that Next Generation started. I didn't pick up on the show though until the 90s, and it was one of those shows that, as a kid, it was full of bright lights and aliens and flashy buttons and things like that, and that's what really caught my attention. And I just started watching it, and I latched onto it, and it was just that was it. I remember, you know, my mother used to work late, and this was my way of it would keep me awake long enough that I could see her when she finally came home. And it became our kind of our nightly, you know, ritual was she would come home from work a little early, and we would sit and we would watch Next Generation together. And
Nice.
between sharing those moments with her and then continuing on, my love for the show just deepened, and now I do the same thing. With my own kid, you know, they have the new cartoon version of Star Trek Lower Decks out, and it works like a charm, man. You know, we watch it
Right.
all the time. We can't wait for the next season to come out.
Right.
So yeah, it's really a generational thing in my family. Now, when
Right.
I have to admit, as much as I love Deep Space Nine now, when that show first came out, I hated it, and I was a dyed in the wool Next Generation fan. I loved the Enterprise and it warping off to the next adventure every week and all that stuff. And to suddenly come to a dirty, grungy space station and they never went anywhere, I was just like, no. I need y'all to travel. That's my Star Trek. I need you to go places. And so, you know, I watched the first few episodes and I didn't like it. I remember being very young and just saying I didn't like it. And I think I didn't watch it. Like, I think I missed pretty much all the rest of the first season. And then for some reason, I think I just had nothing else to do. And I found some episodes in the second season and I liked them, but I didn't know what was really going on. So I had to go back and watch. And that was a nightmare because, you know, then we didn't have Netflix and all that kind of stuff. So I had to, like, stay up late to find the rebroadcasts of old episodes
Right.
and stuff, you know, syndication. And, you know, finally figuring out a way to get caught up. And then I that was it. I was off to the races then. And by season four, I couldn't wait. I needed more. I remember I lived with my uncle briefly, and his girlfriend at the time recorded the season finale of, or the series finale of Deep Space Nine, because we were going on a trip. My uncle and I were going on a trip, and I was not going to be home to watch it. And it was like tearing me apart that I was not going to get to watch this. And she recorded it for me and surprised me with it when we got back from our trip. And I was like, yeah, you need to marry her, because that was
Yeah,
like
I was gonna
apex
say.
moment right there, you know? But so yeah, ever since then I have been real. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've been a really big Star Trek fan. Just all of them. I remember when this one started. I remember when Voyager started. I remember when Enterprise started. All of them: Enterprise, Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks. I'm now old enough that I can remember when all of these shows started, and I get sad sometimes and have to drink away those thoughts, but. But yeah, that's been my journey with Trek, and now I'm older and I have a kid and I'm bringing her up with it.
Good to go. The only other thing I can really say I've had any experience with Star Trek with would be something we've talked about before, you and I, which is Galaxy Quest. I love that film, which definitely pokes fun. It's a comedy. It pokes fun at what Star Trek is in the thinnest of veneers. Like, it's clearly a reference to Star Trek through and through. But it's also a massive love letter to the fans. The whole plot is based on the idea that people love the show so much, and their love for the show actually helps save,
Save the
the plot.
galaxy. Yeah, saves
Yeah, they
the
help
world,
save.
saves the universe.
Exactly. So I love that movie. Even as someone who wasn't a Star Trek fan, you can tell every reference was meant to be something Star Trek related, and you didn't have to know exactly the reference to understand and appreciate the humor. So I've always had in the back of my mind, like, oh yeah, there are people who really love this show and really appreciate it. And here you are. I've met one. You are everyone in that show, or I'm sorry, in that film that is referring to the fan base. Perry is that guy, and so now I get to find out from a fan how great the shows are,
Oh.
and
And speaking of that
yeah.
movie, I know that there are Trek fans out there who absolutely love it. They understand that it is very much that love letter to the fans. It's very tongue in cheek. We get it. We love it. We appreciate it. We watch it all the time. And then there are also some fans who don't like it. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever fall into that category, and you're talking to me about it, I'm going to tell you right now that Sir Patrick Stewart himself signed off on Galaxy Quest. He said it was a fantastic film. So
Good.
if Jean-Luc Picard himself says that it is a fantastic movie, then it's a fantastic movie. There it is. It is written. It is
Right.
done.
Yeah.
So he enjoyed it. So we all must enjoy it. That's the rule.
Got it.
And I feel
Yes,
like,
sir.
there's a new.
Yes, Captain.
The new show, the new sci-fi show, The Orville, is also, I feel like, much in that line. It's
Right.
a bit more jokey. They do try to fall more on the comedic side of things, I think, than Galaxy Quest did. But it still very much is a love letter to Trek.
Right.
And several Trek actors have already popped up in it, and I hope that that show continues. And on that one, Jonathan Frakes. Captain or Commander William Riker himself is the one who signed off on that one. So once again, if Riker says it's okay, you got to go with it. That's the rule. So those are two things right there that, again, because of Trek, they exist. They give us more than they ever take away, and it's definitely
Right.
something that we should appreciate.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like I said, I had a series of questions. And one of them was going to be a theme that you would want or expect to see continued in the Deep Space Nine. You said, the prime directive for that.
Yeah.
So the next question would be: is there any alien species that you've seen so far that you would like to see again in Deep Space Nine?
Well, the Klingons have been fascinating as a culture. Worf being this, great character who's having to bridge both cultures. I loved meeting his parents in The Next Generation. I was telling my roommate, who's a Star Trek fan himself, that basically Worf was raised by a Russian Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. That's how they came off to me. They were great. But yeah, the Klingons are fascinating. You know, the idea of this culture that is kind of barbaric on some level, but have managed to produce space, starships and spacefaring fleets. And that even in one episode of The Next Generation, they were, when history is messed up, they almost win the war with the Federation. Mm-hmm. So they're a fascinating culture. You can tell that, or at least the Next Generation writers spent time figuring out this culture and how to kind of make it make sense. So yeah, that one right there would be something fascinating. There's the Klingons, and then who are the ones that Spock is from? I forget.
The Vulcans.
Vulcans, but not the Vulcans. The ones that
there's the Romulans.
There you go. The Romulans. I mean, I'd be curious to see more of them. I mean, at this point, they're a little bit flat on The Next Generation. They're just, the haughty, smart alien race. But in the episode I just saw on episode in season 4 of The Next Generation, there was the idea that maybe they would have peace with the Federation, which turned out to be a ruse. So that's, the idea of like, okay, why are these people different from the Vulcans? What makes them truly different? Is it just, two different, one group of Vulcans went off one day and, now they're just called Romulans and that's it? Or is there truly a difference?
So
that'd be something curious to examine.
So on that note, I'm going to tell you that they don't really go into the Romulan-Vulcan split on Deep Space Nine. That is something that I think is briefly touched on in Next Gen, so mild spoiler there. As you watch it, you'll get that. But also, you're probably going to have to do supplementary reading to know like the full range of all that. Or I could just tell you because I know. but yeah, so that could be something that you either want to look into or just let me know, and we can kind of, maybe make it like a B plot of a show that we do, to kind of do a deep dive on Vulcans.
There's one other thing I was going to say. Yeah. Is I know that there's some Ferengi character, a Ferengi person on board Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. Very curious to find out how that comes about, because The Next Generation makes a clear point to make those characters very annoying and very unpleasant. The idea that they would ever decide to be friendly or even have peace with the Federation at this point, in my experience, is still a little far off. Okay.
So, yeah, that's a good range of characters there. I think all three of those are represented at some point or another in the show, so you should you have a lot to look forward to there. Okay. Another question that I had for you. What is something that you don't want to see coming into Deep Space Nine?
Hard to put to words. Basically, the reason season 1 of The Next Generation is a little bit troublesome to get through were things where, like, they the ship goes and encounters cultures, but they don't really have the time, or the writing isn't there to really flesh out these peoples. They have a one episode interaction with a culture and not much really happens, and by the end, you're like, nothing really changed. Nothing really happened. The best episodes, the best storytelling in general, always comes down to characters having to make some sort of tough decision, having to really, work with some sort of problem and grow through the experience. So I wouldn't say there's not anything I would not want, per se. I would just want to make sure the storytelling really makes sure to really push the characters, make sure the characters experience some troublesome problems. If we got to kill a character, like if someone had, like there was an episode where William Riker has to shoot a woman that he was, he's kind of the philanderer of the group. He was having this one relationship with this one young lady, and it turns out she's actually an assassin or something. So he had to shoot her in that episode. That was a great episode because, you know, William Riker, the philanderer, he likes to meet women and interact with them. And then at the end of the episode, he has to kill her. You know, so he was affected by that moment. Stuff like that. Basically, just as long as the storytelling puts the characters in positions that are interesting, I don't want an episode where at the end of the episode I can say nothing truly happened. If I can say at the end of an episode nothing really happened, I could have skipped this episode and I would have been able to miss nothing, that's when I'm disappointed. And, yeah, we'll see.
Well, as a, again, lifelong Trek fan here, I'm going to say that there's always something to enjoy about an episode. Rarely will you find one that truly you could just skip. There's always something to be gained from it, and sure, you know, that sometimes you don't notice, but then later on, you know, it could be four seasons or four episodes later or a couple of seasons later, that callback to that episode makes it all the more important. So I would never say skip an episode, because you never know what what may be important or not.
Yeah, I would just say the one episode that I was thinking of, was I was saying that, was the one from The Next Generation where Picard, they find a shuttle with Picard from 6 hours in the future, and the reason he's there is because he's from, there's some sort of space vortex thing that's sucking the ship in, and by the end of the episode, like, not much really happens, but later on when Data is painting, he paints something that looks very much like that vortex. So there's no explicit connection that's made in the episodes that's what he's doing. But at the very least, as someone who's been able to watch, you know, these episodes, you know, back to back, I'm just watching them every night. I was like, I didn't like that episode, but yeah, Data liked something from what happened there. He's thinking of it. Yeah. At least I'm assuming he did. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the episode. I believe that episode's called Time Squared. And that episode was more about the pressures of command and the relationship Picard had with Dr. Pulaski and her understanding of him than really anything else. So I understand how some people, you know, might think, oh, that's an episode I could skip. But if you are looking to see the more, I guess, relationship dynamics, it's episodes like that tend to give you more of that. Like, whatever the outer problem is secondary to these characters establishing a certain dynamic with each other. And that tends to be what I get the most from episodes when people say, oh, that's an episode you can skip. It's like, well, not necessarily, because it's one that is giving you character development at that time. But yeah, no, I totally get that, though. So yeah, not going to spoil anything for you in Deep Space Nine. I think every show has their moments where, again, we feel like I said, this could be something they could have done differently, or we could skip or whatever. But again, don't.
Right.
Don't. Right. That's always going to be my recommendation. All right. So we've covered what you wanted to see, what you don't want to see, aliens that you like. What about characters?
Sure. Again, Worf is always a fascinating character, and I understand that he does appear on Deep Space Nine at some point. Someone who's having to bridge between two cultures like that, especially such a different culture as the Klingons versus the Federation. So we'd like to see him some more, again. From the current cast of, you know, The Next Generation, he's the one that really stands out, and again, I know that he does show up at some point. I do feel like all of the characters from The Next Generation are well fit to the idea of a ship going around and, you know, encountering various cultures. All of them, if they showed up on Deep Space Nine and interacted with characters, I'm sure that'd be always fascinating. Picard, you know, being this, you know, captain who's very talented and skilled. The Dr. Crusher's son, who's Wesley. There we go. If Wes shows up, that'd be interesting, especially once he has graduated from the academy. You know, he's now a full-on officer. That would be interesting. Basically, the most interesting things are going to be the interaction of these various cultures with each other.
Yeah.
So as that unfolds, that will be the most interesting.
Great.
Because, you know, the ship of the Enterprise, at least again on the Next Generation, is piloted, or, you know, the people who are on it are mostly just humans. Mm-hmm. And so they're just going and visiting various cultures and having to deal with the episodic nature of dealing with things. But again, the idea that a bunch of cultures are then stationed together on a space station and having to live together and work together, not necessarily to go on grand, glorious adventures of discovering new species and new planets and new life, but, you know, just the everyday life of living, you know, anywhere, whether it's a space station or a city, a town, you know, co-workers on some level, that'll be very different than the grand adventures of the Starship Enterprise, I'm sure. So,
well, absolutely. I think that you're definitely in for a lot of great stuff with the development of this show. I think it serves as a great continuation of Deep Space Nine. I mean, of Deep Space Nine, of Next Generation. Right. A lot of what you touched on, I think that, again, you'll be very happy to see as we move through the show. Because of those things that you were talking about, I'm going to be doing more to, again, highlight the political, social, cultural climate of the time that also reflects those things as well. Because there were a lot of things that were going on in the 90s that, I mean, heck, even I didn't know about until I recently started doing some research, and want to really bring those into focus and how they related to things that were going on in Trek, okay?
Right.
So we'll definitely get to touch on a lot of that and more as we move through this show. So, with that being said, we are rapidly approaching the end of our time here, so we can just go ahead and wrap things up. And is there anything that you want to say to our new audience here on Episode Zero?
Well, just thank you for listening. As someone who's relatively new to Star Trek, I appreciate the graciousness of those who listen, who are longtime Star Trek fans, as I come to join your ranks, and look forward to more.
Awesome, and there will be plenty more for everyone. And speaking of plenty more, you will be able to find this podcast wherever it is you listen to podcasts. I particularly am a favorite, a longtime user of Spotify. That's where I go for all mine, so you can join us there. Also, you'll be able to find us on Twitter and Facebook, the Fire Caves, not the Fireside. Man. FDR reference. but it's the Fire Caves, obviously a Star Trek Deep Space Nine podcast. That's the title of the page on Facebook. The Twitter handle is the same. So you can find us there. The Patreon is going up in a couple of days. So when that comes out, we'll obviously follow up to people who want to subscribe and get some exclusive content, more things like this that are a bit more behind the scenes. Plus, I believe when we get into actual video of our podcast, those things will be available as well. So just take this time to check us out and follow along. And if you are a person who wants to be engaged and wants to interact with us, please feel free to send questions, comments, concerns, all that kind of stuff to either the our Twitter handle or to our Facebook page. But please bear in mind, keep all of those statements that you want to make very polite, professional comments. Anything else will be summarily ignored, deleted, refused, and so forth. We welcome your questions, we welcome your input, but obviously we don't welcome derogatory remarks. You can be critical, don't get me wrong, but if it's overly nasty, then yeah, we're just gonna keep going and doing what we do because we enjoy it, and that's just that. So with that all being said, again, I am Perry, joined again each week with David. You'll be able to listen to our show every single week on, I believe, Wednesday will be when the episodes are released. We'll be recording mostly on Sundays, then with editing and everything else, should be out the corresponding Wednesday. All right, so every Wednesday, join us here in the Fire Caves. I'm Perry.
I'm David.
And we'll see you next time.